you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. That was Lamentations 3, 22 through 23.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday. You know, that's one of my favorite days of the week. And I have some studio guests, some new friends, and an old friend joining me on this Tuesday, June 2nd. How's your June off to so far? We're into the second day. Maybe you're starting a new habit of scripture memory or praying for a certain need or reading through Proverbs. Maybe you're in Proverbs chapter 2 today and you're going to go through that whole book. Or maybe you're reading four Psalms. You can go through all 150 Psalms if you read four a day throughout the month. So we would pray that your practice to grow closer to God and be a faithful disciple of Jesus would be reinforced today as you hear this story. Because on Saturday at the Champaign, Urbana, and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, oh, was it a powerful gathering, so many different testimonies and singing and worship and sharing. But at one point, Hub, Herbert Burnett, he's been on a number of times, a dear, dear friend. Anyways, I think he just said, hey, Verdell, get up and share a little of your testimony. I think it was one of these things he just felt led of the Lord.
Amen.
To have Verdell get up and share. And in fact, he did that to about eight other people. But Verdell got up and started sharing, yes, and I thought, I got to get him in. And so on short notice, here he is in the studio, and that was his beloved wife, Sheila. I think you said 36 years?
Marriage and 43 years of being together.
43 years of friendship. And
would you believe we started at four?
Yeah. She read the opening verses out of Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute, because I asked Verdell, what's a favorite verse? And he goes, I love all of Scripture, but he said, if you want one of my favorites, it's that one. So we're going to come back to that. So I'm just getting to know them, but the testimony he shared this past Saturday was so powerful and encouraging on a lot of levels, along with the fact that God saw fit to bring about kind of a miracle. And so, Hub, what else do we want to say about Verdell and Sheila Jones?
You know, Verdell, when you think of community, you think of Verdell. One of the reasons I didn't want to just say, oh, he worships at this church, because that would be minimizing the anointing that's on his life. Mm-hmm. When I think of Verdell, I think of the commercial Nationwide is on your side. And so I grew up with him, but we really got close when I was an Army recruiter and our kids was playing Gus Macker together, and he started Fort Sioux way ahead of his time, where he was just pouring into young men. I mean, we need 1,000 of him now. We got 1,000. Unfortunately, they don't have the motive that he had, you know what I'm saying, right, at that time. And so just amazing family man. One thing that I measure men by, and whether it's good or bad, is my truth. I look at their kids and see how they raise the kids, see what their kids are doing, because children are actors and they act out what they see. He has some God kids too, but he has two amazing boys who I was able to coach both of them at some point, and they are doing amazing. I'll leave it at that, because I can go on alone. But he's just community. He's everywhere. He's a connector. A perfect example. I don't want to say too much, but I ran into a kid who desires to do something in life. And soon as I talked to him, this was just yesterday at the Ark, I said, I'm going to call Verdell, and I'm not going to tell his testimony, and we're going to see what we can do for you. And that's exactly what I did. And his response was, let me know how I can help. And so he's a dream facilitator. He has a passion for all, but especially our youth. And I stopped there.
Well, and I know also he's involved at Lighthouse Restoration. And I think because of circumstances, he's been like elevated beyond just being an elder or a leader there, but involved in preaching and teaching. And when I was talking to you, Hub, about him, you said, man, does he have a pastor's heart in preaching?
WFT every Sunday. Yeah. You might get more word on there than you get at some of these churches. I'm going to leave that alone.
Yes, I didn't know that for 10 years he's been serving on the radio. I was doing all this show prep and telling them different things to be cognizant of, and he just kind of nodded, very humble. And then Hub said, Mark, he's like a pro. He knows how to talk and share. And I love the fact that he loves on his wife and was honoring her and saying how much she's a part of his inspiration. So I'll let him share that. But he also attends our Pastors and Ministry Leaders Luncheon when he can make it out. So appreciate seeing him there and engaged and involved in the community. And like I said, this past Saturday, he shared a testimony. So maybe, Verdell, you could share a little of some of the situation you've gone through the last few months with health issues and such.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Mark, for having me and my precious wife on today. And thank you, Hub. I need to make check payable to where? Certainly, Hub, my brother from another mother. And so
I coached with him. I served under him for several years. Several years I served under him.
You work with me.
I work with him, but I'm a servant. That's what I do. I serve. Yeah. In order to be a great leader, you got to serve. So, but listen to this. I have to say this. We were going to a Thanksgiving tournament, and we had to leave on Thanksgiving. So can you imagine taking basketball players away from their families on Thanksgiving? This guy made a phone call, and a restaurant in Springfield opened up and fed about 30 of us. On Thanksgiving, they opened up. He paid for everything. That's just one story. I got about 90 like that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so we're thankful. April 7th, 2026, around the time of 11:30 a.m., I was at work. We were doing a training. I had just finished speaking in the training, and I got up to go use the restroom, and we had a break time, and all of a sudden I started feeling really weird. I never felt it before. And so I asked our secretary, I was in the foyer, I said, hey, listen, is it possible that you can get me some aspirin or something? She said, Virgil, I don't have any aspirin. What's going on? I said, well, so I just feel weird. And so I sat down. I still had to use the restroom, so I wanted to get up. Well, I went to get up, and I couldn't get up. And so I told her, I said, hey, listen, go get my brothers. And when I say brothers, I mean brothers that I work with. I may not have the same parents, but we're connected. And one was the pastor of Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, Ricky Parks, my brother. I love him dearly, who lost his mom, and certainly we're praying for him. Mm. And then also Sheldon Turner, who works for Operation Hope. And they were in there, and they came out. As soon as that happened, I started praying. You know, that's just the nature of who I am. I knew this was beyond me, but I knew someone that it didn't escape their gaze. And so what I did, I started calling upon the name of Jesus and praying, and they came, and they started praying with me, and so she came out, our secretary, and she said, Verdell, she said, do me a favor, raise your hands up. And I raised my hand up, and my right hand drooped. And she said, stick your tongue out. And I stick my tongue out, and it kind of swerved over. And she said, oh, my God. She said, you're probably having a stroke. I said, well, call 911. I said, I still got to go to the restroom. let's keep first things first, right? And so the brothers, they helped me to the restroom, closed the door. I went in. I used the restroom. Washed my hands, and I went to come out, and I couldn't walk. So they I had to call them. They brought me back and set me down. And by that time, about 2 or 3 minutes later, EMTs were there. So, you know, I went out. Long story short, they took me out, took me to the hospital, took me to the ER. They had to check and make sure I wasn't having a hemorrhagic stroke, because you either have a hemorrhagic stroke or ischemic stroke, which is a blood clot. Well, because they wanted to give me some clot busting medicine. In order to give that, I couldn't be bleeding. So they took me MRI, CT scan, found out I wasn't bleeding. All my vessels were intact. So they gave me this stuff called TNK. It's probably one of the most powerful clot-busting drugs on the planet. And they gave me that. After that, they took me up, put me in ICU. I was there, and I was improving such a rapid pace. They told me after being there, one night maybe? On the second night, they were like, hey, listen, Verdell, we're going to have to move you down to the neurological floor because you're improving so well. But they said, we don't have any rooms. So what we're going to do, we're going to keep you here until we can get a room available. Well, as soon as the nurse left, she said, well, I got something I got to do and I'll be back. As soon as she left the room, I overheard her on the phone calling another family and telling them that the person next to me did not make it. And it registered to me that God's hand was in all of this. From the fact that normally I'm out driving between schools. I work at Champaign Unit 4 Schools. I'm also the varsity basketball coach at Urbana High School. So I'm always in between. I'm on the road, and I could have been by myself. But it just so happened on this day during this conference. The right people were there in time. And, you know, when you deal with strokes, timing is of the essence. Yeah.
I think you have like 4 minutes or something before things can get really bad.
And you know, and so I saw God's hand all in. So from there, I get to the hospital. They put me in the emergency room, took me to the ICU. Then they put me on the neurological floor. And this nurse come in, and I told my wife, I said, man, she hit me the wrong way. And I just wondered, I wonder what kind of nurse she's going to be. And my wife, she said, Verdell, listen, she's probably overwhelmed. She'll be okay. Well, I want you to know that I found out during the course of the night, she was my night nurse. She came in and we got to talking. I started talking about the goodness of God and how God's hand was in. And come to find out, she grew up Roman Catholic in Mexico. And she moved here to the States. She's a nurse. And she attends a local church here, and the Lord saved her. And the first night she came in, she started praying with me and prayed over me. And then when she got done praying, she started prophesying to me. And she said, brother, the Lord has told me that you're going to be healed 100%. It goes from a nurse that I didn't think we would have any interaction to the fact that she told me, I love coming to this room at this time of the night. You're the last patient I see because I know we're going to have great fellowship. We're going to talk about the goodness of God. And so the Lord was using me that. And then we had another young lady in our speech therapy class where we had came in for a meeting there, and she came in. She was really despondent. Her head was down. And the person, the facilitator, says, has anyone got anything they want to really talk about today that they're thankful for? And she said, no. And I looked at her, and she said, well, what is it that you would like to see happen? And she said, another gentleman that came in the class, and she said, I just want to be able to walk like him. And she was struggling. So I started admitting, I wasn't prophesying to her. I was encouraging her. I looked at her. I said, listen, sis. I said, pick your head up and look at me. I said, you're going to walk again. God hasn't forgotten about you. You're going to walk again. So that was on a Tuesday. That Friday, we had another meeting, and she didn't show up. And I was like, well, what happened to her? I won't call her name. I said, well, what happened to her? They said, well, she was discharged from the hospital. I said, well, how did she? They said she walked out of here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so God's hand was all through all of this, right? Mm-hmm. And so then my therapist, I was ministering to them, talking about the greatness of the God I serve. And many of them, they were believers, and some that weren't believers. Like the nurse on the ER said, I want to have this joy and this understanding, this faith that you have. I said, I'll be back to see you and talk to you. Mm-hmm. So I saw God's hand. But then the Lord registered upon me. He said, Verdell, can I trust you with your pain? We have this misguided notion in our culture, in Western society, in the church, because convenience is the optimum, that we think that every time we get in a situation, God is supposed to deliver us out of it. But what I found out more times than not, that there's a level of intimacy and closeness and glory revealed of God when he gets in a thing with you. Mm-hmm. And what God said, no, Verdell, I'm not going to keep this from you. Can I trust you with it? Am I still great? Am I still good? Am I still worthy to be praised, even though this malady has hit you? And of course, the answer was a resounding, absolutely, God, because I realized that God's greatness had no bearing. It was a consequential to what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. God is great because that's who he is. That's his essence. He's good. That's who he is. Everything flows from that. And so with that, I said, Lord, I'm going to continue to testify about how great you are and how good you are. Because those are just facts. You know, there's a story show back in the 60s called Dragnet. And he would say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Mm-hmm. I'm standing straight on facts. God is great. Yes. God is greatly to be praised. Yes. God is good. God is holy. Yes. He's pure. Yes. There's none like him. He's altogether lovely. I mean, those are facts. And that's not decided because some misfortune in Verdell's life. Time and chance happens to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I learned that through this testimony, the fact is, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, he delivers them out of them all. There is no testing or temptation that has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tested above that which you're able, but will, with the testing, provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. These are the precious promises of God. And so just because I serve Jesus, it doesn't mean I won't deal with valleys in my life. You know, when an artist paints a portrait, what gives true meaning and gives structure to the portrait are the dark spots in this. It gives definition. And so the definition, the things that I've had to endure, God is just showing himself strong in that. And so he has given me a testimony, and I'm thankful.
Yeah, I wrote down the word sovereignty.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the things our listeners and you and I and
Absolutely.
We all understand. Bad things do happen. It's a sick, sin-filled world,
yeah.
and so things do happen, but we have a God that's loving, that's caring, that's compassionate, that sent Jesus. He demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, undeserving of his grace and mercy and tenderness, but he sought fit to send Jesus.
Yeah.
And then I also wrote down the power of encouragement, mm-hmm. because I had heard that story of that woman that initially you mm-hmm. were like, this nurse, I don't know. Thank you, God, for Sheila saying, oh, she might have had a hard day or a mm-hmm. bad situation. Give her time. She's capable. And you found that, and she's a lover of Jesus.
Yeah.
But I thought the importance of the power of encouragement.
Absolutely.
She was speaking, you're going to walk again.
Absolutely.
And you've spoken that power of encouragement to other people
mm-hmm.
saying that things are going to work out.
Absolutely.
And so, Hub, I thought of last week when we talked with Bishop Franklin and you got to introduce him, just the power of our words, of blessing people,
yeah.
speaking tenderly or caring or yeah. allowing that fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience. Are we patient with people?
Yes.
Are we kind? Are we loving?
Yes.
Are we considerate, compassionate? And that power of encouragement, the power of our words to speak truth over somebody. God loves you. God cares for you. I just so much love and appreciated that testimony. But why, of all the passages or verses, Lamentations 3:22-23, now, this is the NIV version. I think Sheila had read mm-hmm. from King James, but because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
Never.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's 3,566,480 letters, 783,137 words, 31,102 verses, 1,189 chapters, 66 books, 8 dispensations, 2 covenants out of 1 Bible, the Biblia, the book, right? And out of those...
Did you catch that, Mark?
Those, out of those 31,102 verses, 2 of those really registered with me. Why? Because I asked a question a long time ago. I said, Lord, show me how to deal, how to love people like you love them. You know, and you know what he did? He showed me me.
Hmm.
With all of my imperfections,
mm.
with all of my shortcomings. But then he showed me the love that he displayed upon such a person that was worthless in terms of deserving his grace. And he said, Verdell, it is of my mercies that you're not consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as being a holy God, when sin comes in his presence, he should, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he said, my compassion that he fell out there new every morning. My grace is my faithfulness towards you. So he said, I need you to go and to live your life and to see people as a prism, through that prism. I recognize that every one of us are made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. Now, that image has been marred by sin.
Right.
But Christ came to redeem us from that. And as a result of that, he says now we are his workmanship. The word workmanship comes from the word poeme, and it means masterpiece. Think about that. Everyone that's sitting around us that name the name of Christ are his crowning achievement in creation. The problem is we don't recognize that, so we don't treat each other as such.
Right.
And also, we don't recognize that about ourselves. It told me that the key to living fully is the ability to die empty. I want to say that again. The key to living fully is dying empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord helped me to understand that, hey, listen, as a servant of me, your responsibility is to trust me and to give, because God is only interested with a barrel with both ends out that he blows through.
Hmm.
He doesn't want us trying to take credit. Paul says, what is thou that thou did not receive? So why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? Paul is saying everything you have, everything that you promote, everything that is good, it comes from God. That's why the scripture said, let your light so shine before men.
Hmm.
But they don't give you credit.
Mm-mm.
So they'll see your good works and do what? Mm-mm. They glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Mm-mm.
This is the mandate for every believer, that we're to walk in the light and the love of Jesus Christ. What we do anymore speaks so loudly people don't listen to what we say. Our audio must match our video. What we say must match how we live and we govern. And I'm thankful that Christ did not die for a perfect person, but he gives us the power to live a principled life. As I finish, okay, here are the facts. There's 60 seconds in every minute, 3,600 seconds in every hour, 86,400 seconds every day, 604,800 seconds every week, 2,592,000 seconds every month, 31,536,000 seconds every year, 315,360,000 seconds in every decade, 3,153,600,000 seconds in every century. Why is that important? Because every second marks two people that die and leave this earth. Hmm. The fact of the matter is, one day your second is going to be called. And then it becomes a question. What did we do with what he gave us? Hmm. It's a stewardship issue. Having opportunity to have fellowship and relationships with, it's important that I represent God in that. How I treat my wife, those are gifts to me. It's a stewardship issue. And I promise, one or two things are going to be said. And I believe and I trust because what Christ has done for me, I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. If you're on the flip side of that coin, he'll say you'll be well done as you fry in the crackling flames of the lake of fire. And so the message of the gospel is that anytime you go somewhere you're not wanted, Mark, that's called crashing. Well, who would want to crash the lake of fire? He says in Matthew that hell prepare who? For the devil and his angels. Isaiah 5 says hell has now enlarged itself. And so our mission and our mandate and our work of the work that him has sent us while it's day, where night comes, is to proclaim this eternal gospel to liberate men from the hands of the enemy. And we've called ministers of reconciliation that we can reconcile the holy God back to a fallen man through the work and the person of Jesus Christ.
And God's word is so clear. He desires that none should perish. It's a decision we can all make. And his desire is that we all come to that personal relationship to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross. He died for our sins. All of us have fallen short of the mark. All of us need a Savior. Amen. And we can turn to Jesus. If you've not made that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, let me offer a phone number. It's an 800 number. It's a free call. There's trained counselors. They'll walk you through how to have a relationship with God, how you can trust God's word, the Bible, how you can know God loves and cares for you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Now, listening friends, be praying up Verdell and Sheila Jones. I'm going to see if I can get them back for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll see if we can coordinate and work out schedules, but there's so much more to this story. Yes. And for all of us to embrace the fact that God loves us. He cares. He wants to work in and through us. He wants us wherever we go, as we go, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an opportunity. That's a privilege we all get to have. And so maybe I can even get Hub back in the studio for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. But if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or you're thinking of a friend that needs to hear it, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and you can listen to the program anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. So I offer that as a resource. Maybe you want to hear it again and pray up what God would have you do with today's program. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Verdell and Sheila Jones, and Pastor Hub Burnett with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.